the Gospel of John book, but before I do, Joe asked if I would share a little bit about some of the things that we've been doing in our community. About a year ago, our church got a real burden for our Amish and Mennonite neighbors, and so they kind of decided to switch things up a little bit. So I had been the youth pastor and assistant pastor there since I had been there, and almost 6 years, and decided to kind of change things up. So they hired a part-time guy that was already there in the church to help out with the music ministry and the youth, and my role focused to just assistant pastor with an emphasis on reaching the Amish. And so that's kind of my responsibilities. And honestly, it's unnerving a little bit because I'm like, okay, how do I do that? And so, you know, I enjoyed the conference last year, took a lot away from it. I'm learning so much even this year. I've really enjoyed it. But some of the things that we have done, we actually had a family kind of fall into our lap. There was a lady at our church that was on a website of a little small Christian radio station in our area, and came across a family who it wasn't a husband, but it was kind of a live-in boyfriend, but had gotten arrested, and the family was kind of in trouble a little bit, and they had already been shunned by the Amish previously to this, but we were afraid that, you know, the Amish might kind of circle the wagons a little bit and say, come back, and we wanted to see, can we maybe interject ourselves in this, develop some relationships quickly, and start having an opportunity to witness and give these people the gospel and meet their greatest need. And so we kind of, thankfully, a few people in our church knew of this family, and so we were able to kind of connect with them a little bit. And it was a little awkward walking in there the first time and thinking, I don't know you, and this is not the best of circumstances, but, you know, God worked, and we developed some friendships and relationships a little bit, visited with them quite often, and eventually they were actually working on, they're raising a lot of chickens, and they were trying to get a butcher shop established, and they had a slab poured, and some things stubbed up through the slab, and that was it, and the rest of the building materials were sitting on top. And we looked at this and thought, you're in trouble. And so we looked at that, I said, would you like some help with that? And they said, well, not yet. We want to kind of see what happens, and then we'll go from there. And so we kept asking them for months, and finally things got set in stone, exactly what was going to happen with him, and he was going to go away for a while. And so they finally said, yes, you can help us with this. And so we were able to build at least the frame and shelter of their butcher shop. And so we had people coming in our church together and working, and over the course of several weekends, at least got the shell up, got the materials up off the slab. They were just sitting there in the weather. You know, things rot, things go bad doing that. And so we were able to do that. And so there's one of the ways in which we were able to kind of minister to that family. And we're still working with that family, and we're still hoping and praying for salvations. We haven't seen that yet. But there's been, of all the children, especially one, keeps coming. And we're being able to have some really good interaction with her. So that's one of the things that we were able to do. We saw a need, and we tried to work in that and meet that need. And so that's one of the things. The other thing this one's kind of simple, but I think a lot of you do this anyway, but, you know, just looking at our house, there's a lot of Amish sawmills in our area, and so, you know, I wanted to try and do some home renovations, and thought I could replace my stairs. They're kind of beat up anyway, and so I went down to the Amish sawmill and tried to get some measurements and talk to them, and I need to follow that up, but it was just one way I thought, this is something that I can try to need them, develop some relationships, and support the local economy, if you will, but trying to do that. But another one, and I think this is one that I think all of you could do if you're not afraid of needles, is giving blood. And several years ago, the American Red Cross contacted our church, and they were looking for another location. And our church was like, okay, you know, it's pretty easy, just open the doors and they do everything. Simple. Didn't think anything of it. And a couple of people told me, and this is before we were really thinking Amish at all, but they said, Amish love to give blood. And I don't know if that's true everywhere, but it's definitely true in our area. And a lady told me that. She says, you have to make sure there's spots where they can tie off their buggies. Why? And she says, Amish love to give blood. I have no idea why, but they love to give blood. And I thought she was crazy, but whatever. And sure enough, you know, over the time, you see it's just full of Amish people. And so this past year, I was able to finally, I convinced myself I should do this. And so I went down there and gave some blood. But sure enough, there was probably 3 or 4 English people and probably over a dozen Amish in that, all giving blood. And I thought, this is ridiculous. They're right here in our church. And so I was able to go down there, gave my blood, and then sat down at a table. And it was kind of by myself, but the other table was full. So 3 Amish gentlemen came over. And I got to sit down and just talk with them and not give the gospel, but just ask questions, develop relationships. And then I think Joe said, you know, learn their names. And so I was able to talk to them, learn names, and came across the one guy that came down and learned his name and knew about where he lived. And he told me, I was there. There was an accident. There was an Amish accident in this past July. This is January. And in July, I said, you know anything about that? You know that? He goes, that was me. And we had been driving home from somewhere, came across it, stopped, and thought, maybe I can help or do something with this. And they were talking with the ambulance people at that time. And so I didn't get to talk to them, but I would talk to the husband of the driver, who happened to be, I lived next to a feed mill, and it was the manager of the feed mill's wife that had hit this guy. And so I had opportunity to talk to them. And later on, I'm sitting across from this Amish person, and she said, that was me. They hit me. And so we got to, you know, start on a conversation. And it was just amazing how God worked. All these details fell into a row, and I got to meet these people. And so it was just an amazing thing. Another thing that God was getting us ready for was really this book. Probably 18 months ago, a couple of Gideons come in my office, and they sit down, and they said, we want to tell you about this. It's called a life book, and maybe some of you know it, maybe some of you don't. And it's a initiative that the Gideons started probably a little while ago. And if I get my history right, the company that originally did this was falling on some hard times, was about to go under, so to speak. And the Gideons got word of this and thought, this is what we need. And they have not, Gideons have not been able to be on high school and elementary school campuses for quite some time, from what I understand, and have lost that ability to contact those kids and said, we need something that we can get there, but we can't do it ourselves. We need to enlist other people to do this. And so they partnered with a company that originally was doing this. And so this is called the Life Book. And what they did was, it's the Gospel of John. And they sat down with maybe four or five teenagers, and they just had those teenagers write notes and just jot some things down. And, you know, one of these things in here, they would just mark it up and say, there's one note, not sure my dad would believe even if he saw Jesus heal that kid, and then a name. Just nothing astronomical, very simple. Some of it's even in, like, text ease, like, LOL, I can't believe that just happened, you know. I thought, this is great. And what the Gideons did then is they will, and you can do this, and I would encourage you to take advantage. You go online, thelifebook.com, and they will send these to you, up to, I think, 1,500 copies for free, and they just say, pick a week, get your youth group, give them, you know, some of these, and tell them just hand them out in their school. And it's perfectly legal. They can't do it. They cannot stop you. And they can do that and reach these kids and give it to them. But I saw this, and I thought, this is great, but this won't work for an Amish person. You know, an Amish person, LOL, what? You know, what is that? And I thought, but what if we changed it? What if we did something a little bit different? And so I started talking with them. I started talking with Joe, and he said, well, there's a couple reasons why this won't work. But he said, the idea is there. And so we started talking about this and realized that we could do something like this. And I said, well, what if we got the German Bible and got the King James and put them next to each other so that an Amish could read the German Bible that they read but don't understand? I'm sure they can pick some words out. Look at the King James there and the English version that they will accept and say, from what I can tell, these are saying the same thing. And now they're thinking. And we're on the phone discussing this, and he says, you know, there's a guy, Hank Hirschberger, has just finished translating the Bible into the Pennsylvania Dutch. I said, maybe I can call them and get permission. And I got, last year, I got a chance to talk to Hank, and we emailed back and forth a little bit. And he goes, you're going to have to work for it. And he was more than happy to. It wasn't his call, but he said, contact Wycliffe and see what they will do. And so we went back and forth for quite some time, and Wycliffe finally gave me permission to do that. And so I'm very pleased to hold this. It's good to see it done. But the idea is that they can read across, and we tried to keep it as parallel as we could, that they could read across this and see three versions all saying the same thing and in agreement and say, that's not what my church says. That's not what I've been taught my entire life. And they're thinking, and they're challenging, and they're evaluating once again. And then on the side, there's some notes. You'll recognize the initials. They're introduced in the beginning. And you can read just quick biography about those individuals. But you can see that, hoping them, pointing them in the right direction, getting them thinking. But we didn't want that to be all that there was. So as you page through that on this table, on the table in the back there, you can look through. And toward the back, there's a gospel track in there from What is the Gospel? It's a book. And they condensed that book down into a track. And so we were able to get permission from Crossway to put that in there. And so that there's something in there that they can read and understand the truth. Somebody can lay it out in black and white and as clear as day. And following that then is some definitions. I don't know if you're familiar with Kids for Truth program. It's very similar to Awana's. It's very doctrine-based, very, very heavily doctrine-based. And one of the things they do is big Christian words. And we were able to get permission from them to go through and say, you know, perhaps in a conversation or something they're reading, I came across this word. What does that mean? and then go in the back, and they might be able to find it and get some definitions that are not something out of a theological dictionary, but something down to earth and practical that they can read through, take away, and think, oh, I get it. I understand now what adoption is, what atonement is, what baptism is, what being born again and conversion is. And it goes through, and there's several pages of that. And then it was Greg Dixon. I got on the phone with him, and he talked about one of the things he said was, you know, these people need to understand, you know, what about obey your parents? And he said, you need to put something in there that they could read this. And I get all this, but my parents have told me this. I can't walk away. I can't do this. And so Joe said, here, children, obey your parents. And it's the article he wrote some time ago. And so we were able to get that put in there. And then I think it's the same one that's in that tract that you mentioned maybe yesterday, the Salvation by Grace, that Amish sister, I think is how it's ended there, wrote. And so that's in there too, Salvation by Grace. And so they can read these things, get understanding, and think, oh, I can do this. I can obey God. And I'm free. And then in closing, I really hope that if you are able to take advantage of this, and you do, that as you give this to people and have developed relationships with those people, that they will contact you and interact with you and you with them back and forth. But if that can't happen, or if it won't happen for whatever reason, in the back then, in the very last portion of the page down here, maybe they have questions or comments, need some help, don't understand something. I didn't want this to be something like they get stuck and think, I don't know what to do, and I don't know who to talk to. And so I have my own phone number. There's an email just for this, gospelofjohnforyou@gmail.com. And then they can actually write, and it's the address of our church. And so it's in there. And so they have somebody that they can contact and are able to interact with. And so we kind of tried to make a Swiss Army knife. Does a little bit of everything in a very compact thing. And originally we wanted this size. And he said, that's not going to happen. So we tried. It got a little too big. But hopefully it's something you can take advantage of. And we did everything to try to make this not only cost-effective but useful, from the designing of the cover that's Jeremiah designed this. It's attractive, but it's something that's muted, that hopefully easily hidden. You know, a paper that is it's more of a yellow tint, so hopefully if you're reading it outside, it's not blinding you with a sunlight reflection. A font that was a little bit bigger, so that if you're bouncing around in a buggy, you can still maybe hopefully read it. You know, anything and everything we possibly could, and at the same time make it affordable. We thought of everything, Joel, okay? So we like we said, we try to make it a little bit of a Swiss Army knife, and hopefully you'll find it valuable and useful in your ministry as you think of people. Maybe I could give it to somebody, you know, and interact with them, and hopefully you'll be the one to be able to do that. So thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, I'm just wondering, can you tell us how many we had printed, and if somebody wants to take a case and you know, send them to their community? We got the address. We got 5,000 addresses in the computer. All those directories are in the computer, CAS certified every 3 months. If they move, and they move a lot, we follow them. We have done this for years. There's like 500-600 move every 3 months, but we keep the old, we keep the new, we find out where they are. If you want your community, we cannot give the addresses out again, just for the protection of the community. But what we can do is we can bulk mail these out. You can be, as a church or a family or a whatever, mm-hmm. Sunday school class, get behind that and you know, pay for that at cost, whatever. We're not looking to make a profit. Just get them out into the community. I don't know what else.
Yeah, we have 2,000, just over 2,000 I think we printed, and some of that's just resources and things like that. So, you know, as you guys buy that, it's going to be cyclical. We're trying to turn that back around a little bit. So I think there's a little tiny bit on the top we're banking that, so we can hopefully just turn it right around and not have money that's tied up from some other things. And so we try to make this as economical as possible to get that out there. And Joe, you're kind of scaring me, though. I'm wondering if Big Brother's learning from you, or you're learning from Big Brother with this kind of this conspiracy moving around thing. But I really do, you know, hope people take advantage of this. And I'm excited about this and what God's going to do through this. And so it's been a long time coming. I have a much better appreciation now of what goes into making a book. He could probably speak better to that than I. He asked, how do I find the German translation here with a lot of the younger people that don't necessarily read that? I think that's a fair assessment of your question. And from what I've ever gathered from Joe and anybody else, I think that's pretty common with most of the Amish community, that they can, most of them don't understand it. regardless of age. And let me give you proof and point. You know, it's one thing to hear somebody say that. It's another thing to see it. And this family we've been working with, I sat down at a table, and the one girl was probably 14. And I finally was able to give them a gospel presentation with two of them. And I mentioned John 3:16, smile on her face. And she had an English Bible, but she pulled out her German Bible. I kind of wanted to see what it sounded like in a German Bible. And she sat there with her Bible on the table. She opened it up and she says, John, and had to open the table of contents. Didn't know how to even pronounce it in German. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. And she's like 14. And she finally goes through it and goes, oh, Johannin. Yeah, Johannin. And then she kind of, you know, thumbed through and could kind of find it. But I thought, are you kidding me? And no, she was the 14. She's the younger generation. But I don't think that's probably an extreme. But I don't necessarily think that's unheard of either. And from anything I've ever learned from Joe and heard from Joe, I think, you know, a lot of them can pronounce it. They can, and she could read it. She would just sit down blah, 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 and go through and made it happen. But you asked her what she read? No idea. And I think that's pretty normal. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that regardless of age. And so one of the reasons we include it in here, you think, well, why bother? Because I think, from my perspective, I think that gives this credibility. And so I think they look at that and say, well, sure, that's what mine says. That's what I have. That's what I have at home. That's what they use in church. I can read that. I have no idea what it says, but now I can work on the Pennsylvania Dutch, which, from what I understand, is spoken, not necessarily read. So I've been told they'll probably have a hard time with this, but I'm hoping a friend of mine works with. I'm going to get. Are those Jars people here? Right there. Is it the Seed Company? Division Wycliffe? A friend of mine works. That's correct. Seed Company. I keep wanting to say the Good Seed Company, but it's the Seed Company. A friend of mine works with that. Does translation work? And he says, in putting the Bible in the language, some of these people he's working with speak, you know, half a dozen languages very, very fluently, very, very well. And he said, that's great, but when you put the Bible in the language that he called their heart language, he said, the Bible comes in a whole new light. All of a sudden, the light comes on, and it's like, this just got real. And so that's what I'm hoping for those who are able to work. They'll have to work at it, be able to sound it out and work at it, but be able to read through that and think, this is my heart language, and now I understand who Christ is. And then in the English, of course, you know, a language that they understand very well and can probably read very well and be able to communicate this. But again, being able to read through that and understand all these things and think, wow, this is what this is saying, and the light comes on. So, I mean, that's just my experience. That's my thoughts, my 2 cents, for what it's worth. But thanks for the question, though. Anything else?
Source they don't know, or to hand deliver them as a neighbor they do know.
Whew. Did you all hear that? Basically,
we say because it's Easter weekend, so we try to use cards and try to get, you know, a gospel message in cards at Easter or Christmas because it's kind of an instant, hey neighbor, kind of an approach.
Sure,
I'd like to answer that if I could. A basic sales principle is, the more personal your connection, the better. And I think it's the same with sharing the gospel. Being a real person in front of the person talking to them is always better. Sometimes you can't. In those cases, presenting them with the gospel, there's nothing as powerful ultimately as the gospel. So if you're going to send a tract, this is very powerful. The chances of them reading it is probably slightly lower.
Yeah. I think it's Abe Fisher, you know, is planning to do that. And because of the nature of some of his work, he has to do more of an anonymous thing. And I think that's great. But at the same time, I think if you, because I'd rather see you do that than nothing, you know, try. But what I would tell you is that in trying to figure this out and how this all works, is that it would be through relationship that you could hand this to somebody, through developed relationship, through trust, and be able to hand this to them. And so, you know, we've been talking a long time and we know each other for a long time, you know, and I came across this, and would you be willing to read this? And because you're friends, because you have relationship, they're not going to be like, okay, now I got some kindling for my fire, is to be able to look at this and think, because of who you are, I'll read this, or I'll thumb through it at least, and hopefully they'll be intrigued by it and work through it. But I don't know if there is a right, completely right or wrong way. You know, I think what Jeremiah says, you know, that, you know, from a sales point, the more relationship is there, the more likely their chance to read it. But sometimes you're stuck, sometimes you can't, you know, and I think you take advantage of what you can.
I wasn't saying, oh. I wasn't raising a hand to say, phrasing that question as a criticism of mailing. I'm just saying, which is better, you know, because we're not supposed to really do a tract campaign, as we heard yesterday, you know, so, you know, what's the best thing to do?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't take it as critical. I just thought it was a great question. So I think either is better than nothing. But honestly, sometimes you might wind up doing both. But I think if you have someone that you've really developed a relationship, don't just anonymously mail it. Just, you know, say, hey.
Well, that's kind of my question. Maybe some former on to answer that to pick back. I know you don't necessarily go door knocking, you know, when it comes to the Amish, but would the Amish be open to church, you know, someone from the church showing up and just saying, hey, we care about our Amish neighbor. This is a resource we have for you. Or would it be better to just send it to, you know, I think maybe that's what she's asking, but not knocking on their door and saying, hey, get saved, or you're going to, you know, would they be open to someone, an Englishman, coming saying, hey, we care for our neighbors here, or would that be better just mailing?
Sure.
And we're going to do some role-playing here to just try to encourage people to share the book one-on-one. Maybe we should just do that and then take questions after that, because some of those questions might be answered through the role-playing.
Try that.
Well, I am thankful to be here. I have talked with a number of you out at the table and heard a lot of different stories. There's so many stories here, people who have left the Plain People or people who know Amish and want to share, just have a burden for the Amish and Mennonites. And it's been encouraging. What I've heard of the conference so far has been very encouraging. There's so much good information. We should leave here and just be geared up to share the gospel with these people. I was a Mennonite. My parents are Old Order Mennonite. We drove horse and buggy. And today, I'm thankful for my heritage. I share the gospel on the streets of Wausau, Wisconsin, with a friend. And our streets here in America are filled with people who try to believe that there's no God. They try to believe that they can do whatever they want. And there's no foundation. And these people are given over to the devil. There's witchcraft. There's so much of it. It's shocking when you go out in the street and you see what's actually happening in our country. But the Plain People, the Amish people, the Mennonites, they have a foundation. They believe that God created the earth. They believe that we have a responsibility towards God. There's some confusion, but we can at least build on that foundation. We can at least take them to the scriptures and say, look, this is what the scriptures really say. And they're going to maybe reject it, but still, they're not going to forget it. And they know that what you're saying is true because it's in scripture. Somebody shared the gospel with me when I was younger. I was living for myself. I knew that Jesus Christ was my only source of salvation. I had accepted Jesus into my heart when I was very young. But as a Mennonite, I still really didn't. It wasn't the result of being a Mennonite. It was just the result of who I was, living for myself and wanting to do what I wanted to do. But when that person shared the gospel and I resisted him, he didn't do a great job of sharing the gospel. He did anyway. He said, look, this is the situation. This is how it really is. This is what Scripture says, and this is what I believe. I never forgot it. So in this role-playing, we're going to do a few different scenarios, and one of those is the resistance. What do you do? Do you still press on, or how do you deal with the resistance? We're going to do one where you might be getting what you think is a silent treatment, where the person just isn't saying much and you don't know where they're at. And that's the first we're going to do is a silent treatment. That's fairly common. I don't know about the Amish, but I know under the Mennonites, where the people just don't really know what to say. And so Jeff here is going to continue pressing on and ultimately give me the Gospel of John. Another common scenario under older Mennonite people is to say, well, my friend Jeff here, what he says sounds pretty good. He reads the Bible and he prays. He's a good man. But he doesn't really understand Scripture, because Scripture says that you should look different from the world. Scripture says that you shouldn't wear jewelry. Scripture says that you should be non-resistant. You shouldn't fight in the military. Scripture says that your wife should cover their hair. So he just doesn't understand everything, and I can't really take what he's saying as the gospel because, well, obviously there's something missing in his life and his understanding. And in another scenario, we're going to cover the fact that I am a believer. And I think among the Old Order Mennonites, other Mennonite groups, they're conservative Mennonite groups, I think there is believers, people who have actually accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, and they are living for the Lord in that situation. That probably is true for Amish too, at varying degrees. I don't know that. But you have to be ready for that. I know older Mennonite people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they are living for the Lord in their community. So be ready for that, too. That's one scenario we're going to be doing, too. So are you ready, Jeff?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I'm a Mennonite in this scenario, and Jeff is going to give me the Gospel of John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, my name's Jeff.
Hi.
Hi. Your name?
I'm Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. Nice to meet you, Jeremiah. Hey, do you, I kind of noticed you dress a little different than most people around here. I was just wondering, you know, like, what's up with that?
I'm a Mennonite.
Oh, okay. So, do you go to church?
I do.
All right. Do you, church have a name? First Mennonite of Ashland, or second Mennonite of Ashland, or?
No, we don't.
Just Mennonite church?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you read your Bible much?
Yeah.
A little bit?
I do.
Okay. Do you understand it?
I think so.
Okay. What do you really believe?
What do I believe?
Yeah. I mean, you read your Bible, but, you know, what do you think? What do you think about it? Good book?
Just good.
It's good. Okay. You like Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think about Jesus?
He's a son of God.
Okay. I agree with that. Do you understand what Jesus did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. You know, he died on the cross and rose again on the third day. I'd imagine Mennonites believe that. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's been nice meeting you, Jeremiah. I think my wife is going to be calling me soon, so I should probably get going. But you know, I have something for you. You know, I was wondering if I give you this. This is the Gospel of John, and it's in German and Pennsylvania Dutch and English, and it has some notes on the side. I mean, if I give it to you, just as a gift, you don't have to buy it or anything, but would you maybe be willing to thumb through it a little bit, maybe? Just give it a look and see, you know? I appreciate that. So I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Nice meeting you. Maybe we'll see you around again sometime.
Okay.
All right. Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Jeff.
I'm Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, nice to meet you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. You?
Yeah, good. I'm doing well. I'm enjoying this weather. I'm enjoying this weather very much. But hey, we're from Wisconsin. I came across this. It's the Gospel of John, and it's in the German, English, and the Pennsylvania Dutch here. And it's got some notes on the side. I think you might kind of really be interested in reading this. And, you know, it's kind of geared toward, you know, the Amish and Mennonite community. I was just wondering if you might be interested in that.
Did you write it?
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, God wrote it. But I had some hand on the notes and some putting it together, actually. But I was wondering if you'd be interested in maybe taking a look at it.
Yeah, you see, Jeff, I like you as a person. But, you know, here's what we believe as a church. We follow the scripture literally And, you know, so that means if the Bible says something, we do it. And, you know, I don't mean any disrespect, but the Bible says our ladies should cover their hair and we shouldn't wear jewelry. And I'm a hypocrite. I'm going to take this off. And our ladies, we shouldn't wear jewelry. And, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't kill other people. And I know you folks go to the military. So I could read it, but honestly, I don't think it would be right. It's just hinted.
Okay. He really kind of a letter of the law kind of guy.
Well, right. We should. Okay. We should obey the Bible.
Well, I mean, do you sin? Have you ever sinned?
Well, of course. But you know what I do? Every night I pray to God and I say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And the Bible says, you know, if we confess our sins, God will forgive us. So every night I ask God to forgive me. And I know that he does.
Okay. So you would also be, you know, what you said earlier, a pacifist. Wouldn't kill anybody. Wouldn't go to war. Have you ever hated someone?
Yeah, but I ask God to forgive me.
Okay. Well, you realize what? Are you familiar with the Sermon on the Mount?
Yes, Matthew 5:7. Yes.
Yeah, and what does Jesus say? Any man who hates his brother is guilty of
murder.
Murder, right? So what happens? So you've hated your brother before, or a brother before, and you would say that you then every night kind of confess those sins, make yourself right before God.
Right.
So you do that in the evening. So what happens if you die just before dinner?
God is a judge. I, I guess I have to leave it up to him, but
okay.
The Bible says we have to ask for gifts.
Well, that's true, but do you understand what grace is?
I don't know.
Okay, you know, it's not receiving what you deserve, and realizing, you know, this is what God has done, because all of us are sinners, all of us deserve hell, but because of grace, because of mercy, God says, I won't do this for you, I won't condemn you, what we deserve, and you know, I understand that, I believe that too, and I believe that this is what God has done for us, and you know, I want to share and help people understand that reality. And so, you know, I would really love for you to see that, read this, you know, in God's own words, and hope you'd be able to maybe take advantage of this. Could I maybe at least give it to you and just maybe kind of thumb through it and see if you'd be interested?
Okay.
You know, and there's some definitions in the back and some other things like that I think you might really enjoy. So, I mean, could I just leave it with you and maybe you could talk about it later?
Sure, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, it's nice meeting you, Jeremiah.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you around.
Okay.
Hey, Jeremiah, how's it going?
Hi, good.
Good. Good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Hey, I was actually at a conference about a week ago, and you know, it was kind of, you know, talking about, you know, people such as yourself, the Mennonites and Amish and things, and, you know, I really realized as we were kind of getting to know this that, you know, that we're not all on the same page, and I guess I never really realized that before, and I was just wondering, you know, I've never really asked you before, but do you understand what it means to be born again?
Yeah, I do. Accepting Jesus as your Savior, that's right.
Okay. Now, you know, one of the things that's interesting you say that, and I agree with you, but, you know, they say there's... I mean, is that the only thing that you're trusting?
For my salvation?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
I believe that we should live righteously. I do. But Scripture says, and some people don't understand it, some of the people I go to church with don't understand it, but you know what? Scripture says that our works are as filthy rags, so I know that I can't save myself.
Yeah, and so you understand that, you know, works are important and should be part of the life of a believer, according to James.
Absolutely.
But they don't commend us before
they
God.
They don't save us.
They don't save us, right. So you understand that.
I understand that.
Oh, you know, Jeremiah, I really got a burden, and I was thinking, you know, for all this time we've known each other, and I honestly feel bad. I've never asked you. You know, I maybe kind of assumed quite a bit. I never actually asked you. And so this conference kind of really opened my eyes, and I realized I've never even maybe thought to talk to you about it. And apparently there's a lot of people that are out there that are similar to you, but believe a little bit different and don't really know who God is, don't understand that. You know, they're trying to work their way to heaven through lifestyle and works and the things that they're doing. So I, you know, my eyes got opened, and, you know, I was actually able to come across this book, The Gospel of John, and it's in this, it's in German and this Pennsylvania Dutch and English, and I thought maybe you'd be kind of interested in looking at it. You know, it's got some notes on the side and some other things in there. I can't read, you know, 2/3 of it, but I thought maybe you could and be able to take advantage of something. But I don't know, are all your family members believers?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I know some of them are, but the others, I'm not sure, so
okay.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you would take advantage of this and enjoy reading through some of this, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you'd be able to use it with some of your family members or friends or something like that. Maybe they find it as a good tool. I think I can get some more of them if you need it, but I don't know. Would you maybe kind of...
Okay, I'll take a look at it.
Take a look at it, see if it's something that would work?
Sure.
All right, so, I don't know. But I'm glad, and, you know, I'm glad to know that, you know, you have a relationship with Christ just like I do. So
amen.
It's good. So, thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, as you watched us, this was obviously just role-playing. Some of it was based on what is reality, and some of it was just in fun. But hopefully you could imagine yourself doing something. You each have a unique ministry, a unique gift from the Lord, and how you share the gospel. And you just need to pray and seek the Lord, how he would have you share the gospel with your friends. And each Amish or Mennonite person is a little bit different, too. You're going to end up approaching them differently. So our goal is just to get you started thinking about how you might do it and hopefully give you boldness and courage to share the gospel with friends.
So, I don't know. Does that kind of answer your question from before? Yeah. 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 You know, to be fair, he's asking, like, what would be kind of repeating his own, you know, like, what's the best way to maybe present this to someone, give this to someone? And to be fair, I mean, just having no Amish or Mennonite background, I don't know if I could really honestly answer that to the best. Maybe Ephraim's got maybe something in the back there, or...
So From my background, my personal family, in Lancaster County, families are different. My family was open to reading the Bible. We could read it in English. That wasn't a problem. My wife's family was different. They were more strict. And we would get gospel tracts in the mail. We would read them. My parents allowed us to read the gospel tracts. Her family wouldn't. They'd burn them when they came to their house. So I just speak from my personal experience. If somebody would have walked up to me and wanted to give me a Bible, the Gideons did it in our schools. They came to our schools. We knew they're coming. We expected the Gideons to come. And if you were in third grade, you got to receive a little Gideon's New Testament. And that was a highlight that we looked forward to in our school. And I don't know how they organized it. I'm sure they went to the board members and got it approved and went through proper chain authority. But that was a blessing. If a stranger would have walked up to me and wanted to talk to me about God, I would have been very, very uncomfortable. I was probably 14. I was working on the farm, and this one man would come in early in the morning to he would spread the liquid manure from our hog barn on the farm. And he asked me one morning if he could pray with me. And that was very uncomfortable. And I was always afraid that he's going to come in the morning, and I didn't want to be around. I'd be in the other end of the barn when he came. But if I'd meet him today, I'd thank him for it. My thought would be mailing the New Testaments would be a wonderful way to do it. And if you have a personal relationship with someone, give it to him. And mailing would probably be better, from my perspective, than just walking up to them and trying to give them to them. If you're going to hand it to them personally, do it in private. Don't do it when there's two people there. That would be really awkward for them. And this I see as a valuable tool, much better than gospel tracts. They won't burn these like they would a gospel tract. Your dad would. Yeah, I don't think they would. Yeah, that's the difference in the communities. That depends on the levels of darkness or their train of thought. But in Lancaster County, they wouldn't burn it because it's the Word of God. If you would give it to him,
we have a question here and there.
Hi, I'm from Geauga County, which is up by Cleveland, like southeast of Cleveland. I just know for a fact, born and raised there, Amish. That the father of the house would read the Bible only. The women can ask their husband questions they want. I have very dear friends of mine that are Amish, and Tina was telling me that she would probably be the first one to join a Bible study if they were allowed to have it. But I do know that I can share the gospel with them. I'm taking baby steps. But when it comes to actually coming down to asking them if they know Christ as their Savior, that's a no-no. Tracts, they burn. But I also wanted to ask you, we have a lot of really nice Amish stores up our way. Would we be allowed to take and maybe introduce them to the Amish stores? Because they love read. Anything new, they'll buy. And so if we can get them into the stores that we have up there, we have probably about 12 of them just in Geauga County. I think that would be your best bet to get the message across. But I do know that a lot of them are very against it. Like the number church, we have a number church. We have a number one church. Number two church, you can't even use shampoo or underarm deodorant. But they're getting up in the world there. They're changing their way of curtains. They're changing their having fabric now with prints in it. They are reaching out more than they used to. And there's families leaving. Like we've had 5 families leave within a week. So getting the gospel out there would be a good thing.
We only have a few moments left, but I'll address a technical answer to your question, and that is that there's no barcodes in the books. We were expecting these to be given away. But if it's a small store, they can charge
it's
whatever.
It's just they're just like gift stores. We have one what we call the mini Walmart. It has everything that and better than Walmart. It just doesn't have food.
That's great.
But they have all kinds of... When you go into these stores, you see now they're putting like stickers on their walls, like trust, faith, and hope. Tina has one, in my house we will serve the Lord. They're really putting those on their walls. So anything that is a beautiful picture of a horse or a deer and has a scripture, they're allowed to put them on their walls.
Do we have time for one more question? Thank you for that.
I have some friends down in Coshocton. Some of you may have heard of Missionary Maintenance Service down in Coshocton. They have a couple there from South Africa. They got the British accent, and that they now are getting into the Amish parochial schools. He is a ventriloquist, and they just love him. And they are getting constant invitations. And this would be an ideal place to have these Gospels of John's, because it's in the schoolroom and all that. One thing I'd like to tell you who don't speak Pennsylvania Dutch, I think you have a better chance to give these out than we who speak Pennsylvania Dutch. Because if I approach somebody about the spiritual things in Dutch, they know I'm what they call an opgangala, one who has left the church. And that closes it right there.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Darren. It's my wife, Sarah. We live in Salem, Indiana. We live in the Amish community. The question about whether we should mail or deliver it personally, my opinion, and I've been told this by many people in here, that God doesn't, or we don't know if we should mail or we should go personally, but God does. How important is it for prayer and to walk with the Spirit before you approach each individual person? Take the time to pray and take the time to be led by the Spirit, and God's not going to steer you wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I would say that's an excellent advice that he says, but because the prayer of faith, this is what I experienced there, where we have in Decatur, we have a bakery there, a shopping mall, and before we put it in, we circled the shopping mall, we prayed for it, and after we got done, there was these two black guys that came over and asked us to fill their gas tank, and they had come from Danville, I guess, to Decatur for the one guy's father, and so I went over and put gas in their tank, and I just prayed with them. And the one guy kept begging for, now this might be another area of ministry that you might think about, but I guess what stood out is when I prayed, the one that was begging for money and begging for, the thing is security. I want to bring it out, security. People want security. That's why they stay in the Amish. And oftentimes, other denominations, you want security. All of us in here need security. And anyhow, when I prayed, the one who lost his dad said, that's enough. He didn't even ask for money. So if you have the faith and you can pray directly to the Father, that will get their attention probably quicker than anything else across denomination.
I just wanted to add just one thing to, actually it applies to both. I know that when Moses was trying to obey, and he was told to go to the Pharaoh and tell him to release all of these people. You know, he said, God, I don't have the voice to do that. We don't. We don't have the power. We don't have the voice, but he does. So before we go, before we approach, we may not have those words, or you may walk up to him and then nothing comes out. When you pray and ask for that Holy Spirit to speak through you, he will give you the words. I believe that 100%.
About the lady over there that said putting it in stores, that would be a good idea, like for the real order Amish. If you could, like, maybe pattern the people, see where their interests are, and maybe, like, have, you know, if you see where they would like to buy books, that would be definitely a good way to get it across. Because if that book's there, no one's watching, okay, they can look through it. They might not buy it, they'll look through it. Also, if the book isn't there and saying, take me, with a person behind it, and they're free to take it, they're more liable to take it and not burn it, and they'll probably hide it because they know it's forbidden to take it, but they won't burn it because they freely took it. Now, if you just go and give it to the person, and like those scenarios, that was three scenarios where they always took it. Well, I know there's scenarios where they will refuse it. Mm-hmm. From where I come, they will flat refuse it. So if you could make that same person take it willingly and voluntarily, it might do a lot more good.
That's right.
We got 3 minutes.
Yeah, I just want to say you have to actually go through your towns. You can't just throw the stuff in the mail. Because I was asking about that for our church and stuff to, you know, put it in the mail so that way people can come to our church and, you know, understand it better. And they're like, no, you got to go. You have to go through your towns or you will get arrested for it. Just I want to put that out there.
Okay, about 5 years ago, my husband and I moved into an Amish community. And so when they have church on Sunday evening, we always get a special invitation, and they help us go through the songbooks and everything. And we've even given a special invitation to attend their services anytime. And so, you know, the couple of my Amish neighbors say, you and Paul are so spiritual, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I haven't asked them, you know, I'm talking with one young girl now, and she has a personal relationship with Jesus, but it is a private conversation between us at this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just, like, my one neighbor, I said, Emma, have you ever had an instant answer to prayer? And she looked at me really funny, and I said, I think for the first time I did this past week, and I'd like to share it with you. And I did. And so this conference has been really, really helpful to me, because I didn't, until we moved back, I didn't know very much about Mish.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. I'm sure Joe was glad to hear that too. Mm-hmm.
I think we're kind of out of time. So we'll be back there and we can talk to you if we can help answer questions, or I don't know, stand there and just look good or try to. So
let's give our map out.